Have you ever imagined what it would have been like to be present at the birth of Jesus? Or to stand in the crowd at his baptism? Maybe you've wondered what it would have sounded like to hear the Roman soldiers hammering the nails into the cross on that fateful day at Calvary. Our next guest brings these scenes to life in a way that you've never experienced before, and he's here right now. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Skywatch TV. I'm Joe Horn. We are in the midst of a series we cannot wait to hit the ground running, week three of an incredible series on two new Defender books, and I'm going to introduce the authors to you right now. Born and raised in Israel, he served several years in the Israeli Defense Forces and is the founder and director of Messiah of Israel Ministries, Messianic Rabbi Zev Perot. He's a prolific TV and radio commentator, Amazon Top 60 best-selling author, and the senior pastor of Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida, Carl Gallops.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you again. Carl, as always, it's like I've said before, it's like having family in the studio when you're here. My daughter, Nita, came here. She skipped school to be here. We've been talking with both of you over the last couple of weeks about both of these new incredible works. First, The Glimpses of Glory, brand new book by Pastor Carl Gallops, and also Unmasking the Chaldean Spirit by Rabbi Zev Perot. If you missed the shows that we did last week and the week before, you really need to go back to the archives. Guys, did we learn something?
Oh, man.
Was that not amazing?
Yeah.
I mean,
the
people here in studio, I can see their heads exploding. Derek's head exploding.
I'm taking copious notes for a new book.
Yes,
he was down there taking ideas down. Now we'll know if he authors a book within the theme of this,
That's where the
ideas came from.
This is going to be called Glimpses of Unmasking.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I like it.
Well, those brand new to Skywatch, and there are every week. God is blessing this ministry, and I don't want to take for granted that maybe this is the first time they've seen Pastor Carl or Zev on the program. Mm-hmm. I want to start with you, Carl. You know, to those in studio and those familiar with the program, it comes as no surprise that over the last several years, you've authored now 12 best-selling books. You've become a prolific writer and several times top 60 Amazon best-selling author, which if you're not in publishing and you think, well, top 60, what does that mean?
Oh, that's huge.
You're competing, not that Carl is competing at all, but the point is the genres only have so many authors and Amazon is one of the biggest hubs for like digitally distributed books. You're talking about being in a vat of a lake of tens upon tens upon tens of thousands of people all vying for the top slot. If you make the top 1,500, that's pretty astronomical.
Yeah.
To be less than 100 multiple times really says, now he's not going to tell you this. I'm bragging on Carl because we love him. We're proud of him. But tell us a little bit about your background, how and when you started writing.
I was born... No, I'm kidding.
Too far back.
Okay.
They've lost their interest now.
Very quickly, I have been the senior pastor of one church on the Gulf Coast since 1987. As we're talking here today, that's going on right at 35 years in one church. So I've been able to be the pastor of several generations of people, which is an exciting thing. Prior to that, I spent 11 years in Florida law enforcement at two different sheriff's offices under three different sheriffs, patrol officer, and in one of the departments did a lot of criminal investigation.
Yeah, yeah.
So a heavy background in law enforcement. And so sometimes people that read my books, and especially the more technical ones, they say, it's like you're approaching this like a criminal investigation. Well, I do. I gather the evidence. I gather the DNA evidence. I want the fingerprints. I want the tire tracks. I want the
Interviewing witnesses,
Yes, exactly. And I'm kind of a stickler for that. And I've said this to the live audience, and I've said it before. The reason we write these books is not just to write a book, but to get out of our head and out of our heart the things that God has shown us and that we're teaching and preaching, and to put it in a format where we can reference it. So you'll know we're not just pulling this stuff out of our back pockets. We're not making it up. We're not trying to be sensationalist. I tell people all the time that a lot of stuff we say is sensational because the church has never heard it.
Right.
But it's in the Bible and scholarship all the way back to the early church. The historical scholars, as all the way up to modern scholars, have seen this stuff. But today's church just doesn't want to change
its traditions.
It's
just not a popular message.
It's not a popular message. Some of it's not, and they don't want to change their traditions. And so that's why we write this stuff, so that when I do these interviews, I can say, all right, here's what I'm going to say. And I'll say it, and people go, what? And I say, it's referenced in the book. Get the book.
Yeah. And I know I said this the last time you put a book out, but I'll say it again with this one. Glimpses of Glory It's very possible this is one of the most unique books that you've ever put out.
It is.
And probably not just for you or the audience here, but literally the entire literary Christian community. Why do you think this is so distinctive and so timely for today?
Thank you. Well, what God led me to do, I've written a lot of books, and so I get a lot of feedback on it, and it's all positive. I pause.
Now he's fibbing. He's waiting.
No, but I do get a lot of positive, and of course you always get negative. But in several of my books, I would always include a few chapters of what we would call, I guess, narrative writing or immersive third person, where you're on the road to Jerusalem with Jesus and the disciples. You get to hear the conversations. And Sharon taught me this a little while ago. We call it faction. Mm-hmm. It's not fiction. It's all about fact. It's the Bible. It doesn't take anything away from the message of the Bible. We create a few fictional characters and a few fictional conversations, but they have to fit within the biblical boundaries.
And I love the fact that you use the word immersive, because that's exactly what the fallen realm does all the time. Yeah. They immerse our kids, and they get taught terrible things, evil things.
Yes.
You're teaching the truth.
The Word of God, yes. And so what I've done, I take the reader all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And just to be very quick about it, it goes all the way up through the whole biblical message, the gospel message. It ends, the last chapters of the immersive section end with John being on trial in Ephesus because he refused to sacrifice at the altar of Domitian, which is kind of a foreshadowing of the Antichrist and taking the mark and worshiping the beast. Mm-hmm. And John is sentenced to the island of Patmos, and there he receives the revelation. And I take you, you're there with him. You're there with John as he goes to the island of Patmos. And I describe Patmos and how it was, I mean, from historical, not the children's cartoon stuff. And we get into that, and then I show you how he got off of Patmos, according to historical records, take you back to his elder years, to his deathbed, when he passes through the veil and goes into the presence of the Lord. So from the Garden of Eden to John's death, and of course the centerpiece the whole way is Jesus Christ, why he came, what happened in the garden, where it's all headed, where the whole scheme of what we're now involved in, this whole domino line that started in the Garden of Eden and Satan kind of nudged and God just said, no, go ahead, boy, and started the line, pop, 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 and it's gone all the way through history. We're coming to the end of that domino line. Mm-hmm. And where are we and why are we here? Why is the world going out of its mind?
Right.
Why is truth being turned upside down, and the world accepts the upside down truth as though it's just truth. It's unbelievable. Yes. Why this fear of death that has swept the planet, and why is it changing churches and Christians and governments, and why are all the governments speaking with one voice now almost?
Oh, yeah.
This book explains it all.
All the Chaldean spirit. All
It
explains it. That's how these books are connected. It explains it all, but it's not preachy. You're reading a novel, if you will. Except it's faction. It's fact from the Word of God.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of like you're reading in a movie.
It's almost like a movie script.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. And I mean, even with it kind of starts at the end, and then it backs up and starts at the beginning, and then it goes through, and it explains some things along the way. It's also kind of two books in one, because it's going to take you on this journey, and you're going to see things. You're going to say, I've never heard that preached before. That's not in the Bible. But if you'll look, you'll see a little footnote number. Follow the footnote, and you go to the back of the book, and there are the scholarly writings all the way back to the early church, right up to modern-day scholars. There are word studies like he's been doing with his book, with the Chaldean Spirit, and like Lucifer and that big word study and the nuances. I've got all of that back there, plus my own opinions and commentary, so it's like two books in one. So if you want the technical, it's in the back. If you want the immersive, it's in the front. If you want both of them, read the whole thing.
So, can I interject something here, Carl?
Yeah, please.
Because I was honored that you asked me to write the foreword for the book.
Just get ready to go there.
And for 40 years, I've spent my life making a living, putting bread on the table with words.
Yes.
Radio broadcaster, sales, now writer, commentator on the news. And I've written a couple of novels. I don't have the gift that Sharon has. I don't have the gift that you have for prose, but I can attest to the fact that there are people who will push back against this type of storytelling to share truth. Sharon gets some of this, comments that some will make on in response to her
Pharisees
novels.
Pharisees still live.
Exactly. and they'll say, I only read nonfiction. Well, okay, good for you. You don't need this type of immersive experience in order to make it work. One of the things I had to learn as a communicator, both in broadcasting, news commentator, sales especially, there's a difference between conveying information, delivering a message, and making sure that message is received.
Yes. Right.
There is a difference.
Yes.
And let me tell you, Carl's message here is designed to be received. Let me read a paragraph that really struck me when I was writing the foreword. And I've got to say, you inspired that. This foreword, I think, is one of the best things I've ever written. And that's not because of me. It's because of what Carl inspired.
Well, right.
The scene in the garden. He looked back over his shoulder at his slumbering disciples, far away in the shadows, nestled under the mammoth olive trees. They are sleeping like children without a care in the world. His lips begin to tremble as he fights back more tears. The spectacle of his sleeping companions reminds him he is still alone. So very, very alone. How can you read that and not be moved? And it is so much more impactful than the way it is presented. And I don't mean this to criticize any pastors in the pulpit, because you know better than I do what a difficult task that is, what a difficult job it is. But many of our churches will deliver this information in a non-immersive way. It is difficult for us to understand and really take to heart what our Savior did for us, and that's what Glimpses of Glory has done.
Yeah.
This is needed by the church, because so much of the biblical narrative, it is a war chronicle of a supernatural war in which we are all a part, whether we realize it or not. And most of us don't realize it because we've never been taught that these things are real.
Yeah.
Most American Christians don't believe that Satan is real. The Chaldean spirit, oh, what is that? That's that was a symbol made up to represent the evil that we do to one another.
Yeah.
No, Carl brings it alive. He brings the characters alive. This really impacted me, brother, and I just think this is the best thing you've done.
I'm so honored. Thank you.
Absolutely. It's very, very necessary because, as you mentioned, Derek, the blood of Yeshua has been taken for granted.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not taught in most of our churches.
Oh, no, it's disappeared.
Salvation came to you and I as a gift by grace, but it came at a heavy price. And the blood of Yeshua cannot be taken for granted.
Yeah.
And so it's so important that this book, Glimpses of Glory, be read by people, because you're in the place. You feel what Yeshua felt.
Yeah.
You feel what the disciples felt. You feel what Peter felt. You go through the scripture. You understand what Joseph and Mary went through.
Yeah. We need to get excited about the Bible again.
Amen.
Yes. Well,
because we're living it.
Yes.
We're living in the midst of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That'll keep us away from panic and away from fear.
Yeah.
It'll keep us in the Word, and the Word will protect us.
Let me tell you another thing. Thank you. You guys are amazing. I'm sitting here about to break down.
Which would be the first time I've ever seen.
Would be the first time. Listen, I want the readers to see it, to feel it, to smell it, to taste it, literally, you'll see, to touch it, so that it's no longer children's bedtime stories.
Right.
It's no longer a little fuzzy, glossed over stuff. You're there. And you say, oh my gosh, is that what it felt like to be in the garden when all of that evil was coming down?
Right.
Is that what it felt like to be crucified? Is that what it felt like to be rejected, to have your closest people sound asleep when they promised you they would be with you to the end and they can't even make it past the Garden of Gethsemane? What does that feel like? What does it smell like? What does it sound like? All of that's there.
Yeah.
And so by the time you come to the end of it, you get it. And then the last three chapters, only like five pages each, I preach a little bit. And I just take that whole story and I just say, now that you get it, do you see your place in it? Do you understand where we are, why we are?
Yes.
Now
great.
Do you see what's happening in the world? Do you see why? Do you see why the church comes out victorious? Yeah. All of this has been planned before the foundation of the earth.
Amen.
The lamb slain before the foundation.
Amen. It's
so
discussed in Genesis.
That's right.
It's
He's got
the fulfillment.
So what the book is trying to do is to give you glimpses of the glory that has been, that is, and that is to come.
Yes.
See, I got the phrase right out of the Bible, because when he turns the water into wine, in the scripture says, and this is the first glimpse of glory Jesus gave us.
He was
just giving a little glimpse of who he was.
Wow.
But then as you read through the rest, you realize it goes all the way back to the garden.
Yeah.
The glory was given. From the womb of a woman's going to come the seed that's going to crush your head. Just a glimpse of the glory that is to come. And it goes all the way through until John, the revelator, He got the whole glimpse, you know, and he writes the book of Revelation. But then I show you on his deathbed how it feels, what's happening, the people around him, what it smells like, what it feels like. And then he breathes his last, and you get to experience what that's like and going through the veil.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
We're going to have to take a quick break. I don't want to stop this conversation, but ladies and gentlemen, take a look at how you can get a copy of both of these incredible works, and we'll be right back on the other side of this break.
Have you ever wanted to experience deep and glorious truths in God's Word, from Genesis to Revelation, as if you were actually there? Skywatch TV is proud to present the Glimpses of Glory giveaway. When you order Carl Gallup's groundbreaking book, Glimpses of Glory, and Rabbi Zev Porat's new book, Unmasking the Chaldean Spirit, from the Skywatch TV store, you'll also receive The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah, the book that Pat Boone himself personally shared with Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. In this incredibly unique book, Glimpses of Glory, from longtime pastor, media personality, and internationally acclaimed best-selling author Carl Gallups, God's love for you will come alive as you walk directly into the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve encountered the great tempter. You'll be placed inside the ark, experiencing the horror of Noah's family as they heard the agonizing cries of their neighbors, struggling in vain to survive the deluge. And the anguish of our Savior will explode into intense reality as you witness his struggle with human emotion on the night he was betrayed. But that's just the beginning. In Glimpses of Glory, you will accompany Joseph and Mary on the arduous journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem's manger and beyond. Be present at the working of Jesus' miracles, his baptism, and labor during the wilderness temptation. Stand in shock at the foot of the cross. Linger at the deathbed of John the disciple and witness his entrance into final glory, and so much more. Also included in this amazing offer, Rabbi Zev Porat's shocking book, Unmasking the Chaldean Spirit, which details his stunning supernatural conversion from a deeply Orthodox Jewish man to faith in Jesus Christ as Messiah as he faced literal demonic manifestations, temptations of great wealth to denounce his faith in Yeshua. Yet through it all, he pressed on with a glowing zeal for the Word of God and the people of Israel. In this book, you will accompany Messianic Rabbi Porat as he shares striking biblical and archaeological discoveries along his path to Zion. Learn the foundational platform that's behind the spiritual warfare emanating from Israel since the earliest of humanity's existence, as Zev peels back the Chaldean mask and uncover the truth about Golgotha and the archaeological location of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem that has been overlooked by so many. But that's not all. In this must-have collection, you'll also receive The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah, where Pastor Carl Gallups tells the story of Israel's most venerated Orthodox rabbi, Yitzhak Kaduri, who claimed he met the true soon-coming Messiah and revealed his identity on a note to be locked away until his death. Months later, this note was read upon his death, revealing Jesus is Messiah, which ignited a global spiritual and political firestorm. That was just the beginning. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $60. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So take a personal journey with the Savior from Genesis to Revelation and unmask the evil spirits that oppose our faith. The Glimpses of Glory giveaway, available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. I'm Joe Horn. We're in studio today by Rabbi Zev Porat and best-selling author Carl Gallups. You just saw the spot. You've got to make sure you get copies of both of these books, Glimpses of Glory by Pastor Carl Gallups and also Unmasking the Chaldean Spirit. And during the break, we covered stuff. I said, guys, you got to save this for the show because it's too good. So hopefully they can redo some of that.
We've got a live audience.
We've got a live audience. That's right.
Camera's off. I said, let me preach.
That's right. Your book, though, just to switch gears, because I want to make sure we get this up on the scoreboard so the viewers at home aren't detached from the other elements of this book. You talk about multidimensional reality.
Yeah.
Why did you do this in this book, and why do you think this is so important for people to get?
Well, because I've written about this in the past, and I know you guys do shows on it, and we talk about it, but I've written about it in technical format, and people I get a lot of feedback, like, I've never seen the Bible that way, but you're right, it's there, and, you know, we'd like to hear more about this. And then I kept getting people saying, well, all these books you've written, you've got a couple of chapters of this immersive stuff. I'd love to see more of that, more. I want to feel the whole experience. I mean, I struggled with all that. Well, how do you write a book like that? And then the Lord just gave it to me. He says, you write from the Garden of Eden to the very end, and all along the way, you don't preach it. Don't make the book preachy. Just show the multiple dimensions and the reality and how it shifts from one to the other so fluidly as the scripture says it does.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the point is, from Genesis to Revelation, I mean, Genesis opens with God is outside of the universe. He doesn't live in the universe.
Right.
He created the universe.
Yeah.
And so there's one dimension. And but besides that, the angelic realm already exists.
Mm-hmm.
They were there on the book of Job says they were there when God breathed into Adam's nostrils. I think that's part of Satan's jealousy and pride. He was like, wow, I want me some of that.
Right.
And that's all that probably all started right there. But then you move into the physical realm that we know. Okay, I use this illustration all the time. It's like fish at the bottom of the ocean. They don't know we exist.
Yeah.
That's right.
But we do. We
that's
exist
right. That's
all around them.
Yeah,
and we're physical. We're flesh and blood. They're physical. They're flesh and blood. But they live in one dimension. We live in another, all on the same planet. They have no concept of us or that they're on a planet hanging in space on nothing, revolving around the sun in one galaxy, and the universe is filled with trillions and trillions and gazillions of galaxies.
Yeah.
They have no concept of that. But does that mean it doesn't exist?
No.
No, it does exist, and we're a part of it. So the Bible presents without any explanation. That's why Hebrews 11 says, if you're going to please God, you got to have faith that He exists.
Yes.
You start there, and then whatever He tells you, it's there, whether you see it or not. We take for granted, we almost make a children's bedtime story. Jesus on the cross, He says to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Isn't that so sweet? Hold it. Break that down. Today? You, the person of who you are, will have being with me in a place, paradise. How's that happening? I'm hanging on a cross. I'm dying.
Right.
That's just the car you drove to get to Disneyland.
Yes.
Wow. You are going to come out of it and through the veil. And where are they? They're right there overlooking the Temple Mount. And I mean, it's right there in Jerusalem. And what does Hebrews say? He says, everything you see, let's just say Jerusalem, Temple Mount, and all that, is in the fallen realm. But behind the veil is the reality. It says it in Hebrews three times. Behind the curtain is the real temple. Behind the veil is reality. And this is where Jesus went with His blood, presented it behind the veil into the real temple.
And that's what the book of Revelation is all about. It means unveiling of Jesus Christ.
Unveiling. And by the time you get to the last chapters, I saw a new heaven and a new earth.
Yes.
And you know, people say, it coming down out of heaven. What does down mean? We're on a ball floating in space. It just means there's the book of Revelation says the sky is rolled up like a scroll. And in the last days, when God's wrath is being poured out, it says the face of God is seen all over the planet.
Yeah.
And the people of the earth hide themselves in the caves. And how can we escape from the wrath of the Lamb? They see it.
Yeah.
Why? It's multidimensional. It's like taking a fish from the bottom of the ocean, bringing him up through the surface. If we could turn him into a human, the Bible says no flesh and blood is going to inherit the kingdom of God. But we will be given glorified bodies.
But that's not how it's taught in church. This isn't
no,
a put
it's not
down.
Wrong, but that's
it's
why Paul
flannel
said,
board Christianity is what we get in church.
When you talk about the sky being rolled, like a scroll, the word for scroll in Hebrew is Megillah, and the word Megillah means that which is hidden shall be revealed.
Yes. It's rolled up. Here's what's behind the veil. It's been there all along.
That's
in English, scroll, but in Hebrew, it's Megillah.
It rolls back like a scroll. It's all revealed.
Yeah. So the point being, from Genesis to Revelation, it says there's God, there's His creation. We call it the angelic realm, but that's not wispy, ghosty spirits. It's like the fish talking about humans. Oh, we think they exist, but we don't know. We've never seen them, but it seems like they must. They do.
Right.
And we're real, and you touch us, and we touch a fish. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 15. He says fish have one kind of flesh and blood, and humans have another.
Right.
Yes.
But we have flesh and blood.
Yeah.
We are real. This is what Paul's trying to get across. There's different dimensions. That's why Paul said, I know a man who is caught up to paradise. By the way, that's the English word. It comes from the Greek paradiso, which comes from the Hebrew.
Gan Eden.
Gan Eden.
Eden.
The Garden of Eden.
The Garden of Eden.
Gan Eden,
Yeah. Paul says, I was caught up or caught through to the Garden of Eden.
Wow.
He said, I was there. And he says, it's the third heaven. It's the place where the temple of God is. He said, watch. He said, I don't know if I was in my body or out of my body. Here's what he means. I was there, like the thief on the cross. I was alive. I had being. I had a body. It was me. But how can flesh and blood? I'm a fish at the bottom of the ocean. How can I be here?
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. God gave him that ability, just like he gave John. The only two guys that were allowed into the presence of God in the flesh, but mm-hmm. in some kind of supernaturally touched and glorified, they turned fish into humans so they could experience it. Why were they allowed and nobody before them? Because Jesus had gone through the temple and presented his blood, and the curtain was open.
Yeah.
And God allowed for the New Testament for Paul to go 30 years before John, and then John to go to get what? Glimpses of glory to give to us.
And the veil was torn when Yeshua gave the Spirit up.
From the top
so
to
in
the
this
bottom.
Book, in the Garden of Eden, you see the veil in the dimensions. Then you see the veil lowered, and now the earthly realm, and the rest of it's hidden, but it's there.
Yeah.
Then you keep going through. You see all these dimensional encroachments by Satan, the demonic. You see how it happens, even the angelic. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible actually says that while Jesus was there, right before he has this battle with Satan about, nevertheless, not my will but yours, and his face is bleeding, his capillaries have burst.
Yeah.
They're mixing with his sweat and blood. But before that, the Bible says an angel came. He's praying, and an angel comes to assist him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I fictionalize it a little bit, but I think it's very biblical. The angels were weeping. I don't think they knew every detail. This was God's plan of salvation that only the throne of God, only the need to know, understood.
Right. Mm.
Gabriel came to Mary and told her how it was going to be done. I don't know that Gabriel knew the whole thing. It all had to be hidden from Satan. There could be no chances taken with this. And so in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is praying, and I show what the Bible says, this shimmering of the atmosphere, and just, whew, here comes this presence, and a hand is on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And Jesus looks, and the angel's weeping, and he says, I got 10,000 more right behind the curtain. If you need us, we'll stop this right now.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, no, thank you. And he grabs his hand, and the angel bows his head, and he's weeping, and he says, I got to get out of here. He says, because the evil one's coming.
Mm.
Oh.
And he leaves. And the next thing you know, Satan's stepping through with his vileness. And I put a little footnote there. I say, now, the Bible doesn't say Satan in the flesh was there, but Jesus said about Judas, who led the temple guard down there to take him out, Satan has entered into this man.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So Satan was there.
Yes.
And
yes.
so I just bring it to life. That's what we're fighting right now in our lives and our world, why we got to hold firm, keep the faith, and fight the fight.
Everybody needs this book. Everybody needs this book.
I pray so. I mean, I just want the church
both
to
of the
wake
books.
Up.
They need them both. They work together, both. These two books.
Yeah, they go together. You read them both, and you'll just change your whole view of life.
As always, unfortunately, we've hit that roadblock where we've got to take a brief break and come back next week, but don't sweat it. Carl Gallops is going to return to take us on a cosmic collision course from the Garden of Eden to the return of our Savior. You're not going to want to miss next week's program. For Rabbi Zev Perot, Pastor Carl Gallops, I'm Joe Horn. Everybody in the studio, keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back.